Committee of the Whole will come to order.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Felt.
I think we're still on Agency 048, Department of Health.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Harshman.
Members, I distributed over the lunch hour, should be in your tray, just some of that information that Chairman Appropriations and myself were talking about. General fund dollars added to the 2009-2010 budget, of course, is what we're working on now, for the Department of Health due to non-budget bills passed in 06 and 07. You should see that there. And your trough has my name at the bottom, HBO1, and I circled up, put biennialized. Mr. Dirks, I hope that's spelled right. English teacher. So I think that's right. But anyway, the $91 million, I misspoke before lunch. I said $91 million biennialized. It's just the opposite. $91 million we spent this past year on these programs. And in effect, we biennialized almost $109 million. That's from our actions. That's what we've done to ourselves. So with our votes, and I guess you could go back and look at your record on each of these bills, but they've all been passed into law coming through this House. With that, I guess, were there any further questions, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Eichel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I cannot resist the opportunity to just piggyback with some of the things that were being said before our break. And it is so extremely important, and I want to thank Mr. Speaker Pro Tem for bringing up the whole business of the health care delivery system needing a systematic review. It needs a systematic review. That means in a system-wide way, but it needs to be looked at and reviewed as a system of care that is broken. It's still working. It's working while it's broken, and it's working while it is becoming more broken. It's based on, for one thing, an insurance model that so many things pertain to insurance, and including our insurability and the uninsured and the costs that are associated of care, and then that drives up the premiums. And we have all the parts, I've said this many times, all the parts of this care system that are problematic are interrelated with one another. There are a couple of solutions that have been proposed in the United States, and one of them, as we've heard of many times, is universal coverage. And the basic belief is that that's not something that we can do in Wyoming. Our population base and other reasons that would be exceptionally expensive and is probably, I'm going to say, not one of the solutions. But I would hope that another approach, I'm only going to mention it, it's going to sound kind of fritzy, but it's a shift to prevention, it's a shift to wellness. There are things that can be done about disease control, about the reduction of the incidence of costly chronic illnesses, about providing incentives for people to take care of themselves rather than to say, we can do what we want and insurance is going to pay for our health problems. We have just come to the end of that, and I hope that the Management Council will be approached about doing a study on this with Wyoming as the focus and what it is that we can do. Leading edge, I believe, is in what I've just talked about, even though I've used just the words prevention and wellness, but there's a huge approach in that that's well documented, and I hope that we can have that coming.
Representative Harshman.
Well, I appreciate those comments, and I think those are things we grapple with also on other bills pertaining to seat belts and smoking and all those issues, and so that's part of the tug and the push and pull on health prevention issues. Are there further questions, further discussion on Agency 48?
Question.
Mr. Chairman, before we vote on this, I just would like to... I have the podium, Mr. Chairman. yesterday I got stumped here on Agency 27, School Facilities Commission. And the question was on the 900 series contractual. The good representative from Thermopolis asked it, why did it go from $2 million in the 900 series to $5 million? Well, I looked back and there was no $3 million that was in the base budget. And I couldn't figure out how it was in a different part of the budget. Well, the $2 million is the exact same amount on 900 series. Most of that's value engineering. We've already got a budget footnote, try to bring those dollars back to Wyoming. The $3 million was actually 1% of the construction projects that are going to take place in the next biennium. Those are architectural fees. That's why it's not in a base budget. We've never seen that $3 million amount before. And so I talked to the good chairman, thought it'd be appropriate I could answer that question. But so that's where that came from. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll call for the vote on this section 48.
Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Section 48 is passed committee of the whole. Chairman Felt.
Mr. Chairman, I move section 049, Department of Family Services. Representative Peterson will explain that.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow representatives, I bring Section 48, Department of Family Services. We had extensive discussion with Department of Health. Department of Health's budget increased, and I'd like to just point out to start this presentation, the Department of Family Services, they came in a standard budget, which was $288 million and requested an exception request of $9 million. The governor reduced that $14 million so that the actual budget that's coming before you today is a reduction over what has been. In addition to that, there are no employee increase on this particular budget, so it ought to be one that is quite palatable for us to look at and work with. Department of Family Services basically works in four service areas. One is economic assistance to families throughout the state of Wyoming with various programs that we have with energy relief and things of that sort, juvenile and child protective services, child support enforcement, and early childhood development is really where they're at. They have 27 field offices throughout the state and all 23 counties, so they touch all the constituents of the representatives on this floor and render services in that regard. The funding stream for this comes from two avenues. One is federal, two is general fund, and three is what we call other funds. Those are funds such as central registry fees, children's trust fund, the heating assistance program, welfare fraud, and overpayment recovery actions that take place throughout this agency's operation. If you look on page 9 of our cheat sheet, you will see that they are listed there of Section 49, Department of Family Services. At the very top of that page, you'll see the general fund appropriation is $173 million, $980,000. Federal funds, this is one that is like the military and some of the other agencies we have within the state, receives federal funding. That is almost $99 million there plus, so there's substantial federal funds that come into this the flow of this agency. Other funds, which I just addressed, a relatively negligible amount in the terms of $10 million, but that is a variable factor because there has to be various collection and actions that take place. Total funding here is $283 million. The JAC, looking at that particular column there, you can see that we added some money to that, and I'll address those at the present time. And if you'll turn the page to page 10, you'll see the two footnotes that we put in here. One is that JC added $407,997 and 30 out of the general fund and $35,000 plus out of the federal funds to provide a 2.5% increase in allowance for community crisis beds. Community crisis beds are a critical link for families throughout the state. There are 81 of them located throughout the state in various localities. What the crisis beds are is when we have trouble with youth, there's a place for them to go, there's supervision, and they have can be there. In the discussions that we had, some of these beds may be occupied up to a period of 10 days. However, the provisions that basically guide these is up to sometimes 30 days. And what it does, it allows the family to go to reunification and work with that. The people that work these crisis beds came and testified the critical role they serve in our organizations. throughout the state. They were looking at a 5% increase for cost of service providers. The governor reduced that, and we ended up providing a 2.5% increase, and it amounts to about $95 a day for these crisis beds, which are used sometimes for a long period of time, or not a long period of time, but for a full occupancy, and sometimes they're not. So it's a real positive feature that we have on the Department of Family Services. We also added a footnote that has to be specified. It's in Wyoming statute that we have to set out the matches, if you would, with the funds that we receive from the federal appropriations, and you'll find that on our budget bill, page 30. It specifies what we worked on there. It's Wyoming statute 422-103D. It's the state supplemental security income amount. I don't want to mean to read to you, but you'll see those are established, and we have to do that by statutory authority. So that was the second thing that the JAC done. So in looking at the summary for Department of Family Services, the appropriation we have here is $284,182,683, which once again is actually less than what they came into us with no increase in personnel. And that's the services that they render for the state. And I stand ready for any questions.
Question being called. All those in favor, say aye. Opposed, no. Section 49 is passed committee of the whole. Chairman Felt.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 51, Livestock Board. Representative Jones will explain that.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agency 51, the Livestock Board. The governor recommended a biennial budget for this agency consisting of $7.6 million from the general fund, a little over $18,000 in federal funds, and $7.2 million of fees that they collect by employees of the agency. So almost half of their budget is funds that they collect in their own agency and so on. Upon completion of the budget hearings with this agency, the JAC determined that it would be advisable to add $12,000 in the Animal Health Division for trichomoniasis testing that was denied by the governor. There is new technology available out there now that the agency does not have. They would have to buy some new lab equipment to be able to do this, and we felt that it was necessary to provide the $12,000 to make that purchase. In the budget is a footnote addressing the increase in testing reimbursement to veterinarians to authorize the spending authority for the revenue generated by that increase. The JAC included $769,000 in the budget. The total biennium budget for the Livestock Board is $15.6 million, and the number of employees remains constant at 19.
Question being called. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 51 is passed committee of the whole. Chairman Pelt.
Mr. Chairman, the next budget is, and I move Section 55, Oil and Gas Commission. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Oil and Gas Commission is a self-funding program, and the budget that was proposed by the governor was for $9,545,000. We made one adjustment to that budget, and that was for a laser printer that was for $58,541, bringing the total to $9,703,000. And I would ask for your approval.
Question being called. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 55 is passed committee of the whole. Chairman Felt.
Mr. Chairman, that was Section 55. That's right. The next section, and I move Section 57, Community College Commission. Representative Warren will describe that.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to be talking about the Wyoming Community College Commission, and if you're on your cheat sheet, it's on page 10. That's where we're at now. And I'm going to do a brief overview of what the budget was. There is a handout on your desk that might add to the understanding of the budget. Basically, the community colleges, employ 2,852 people in the state. There are 77 community colleges. They cover workforce, GED, and outreach. Those are the primary functions across the state. In the budget, the administration exception request was $129,000 to support some inflationary increases for administrative computer systems for the community colleges. The Even Start program, we added $2,428,000 to that program, of which $757,000 is federal funds. Even Start is a family literacy assistant program to economically disadvantaged families. In the state aid area, we added supported $11 million, which the governor did, to support the salary increases which we had authorized last year in our budget. In the libraries area, we authorized the exception budget of $2,440,000 for the continuation of the current subscriptions and material purchases for the libraries. In the adult basic education, we added $146,000 to support a 4% cost of living increase to the state-funded share of the salaries for employees at the 10 centers. And for the GED program, we added, agreed with the governor's budget, one exception budget of $26,000 to support the cost for the required training for the 28 center directors. The Wyoming Investment Nursing Program, we agreed there was an exception budget to support the number of nursing faculty to $1,020,000. And the last exception budget was the Wyoming Public Television. And here the JAC did add $140,000 to support one full-time webmaster graphic designer to create and maintain a functional, interactive, engaging website for the public TV, and $404,000 to provide funding for the high-definition equipment. We did reduce the endowment funding from $2,500,000 to $1,500,000 to establish one-time funding for the endowment matching for Wyoming Public TV. And if there are any questions, I would address them.
Question being called. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 57 has passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phillip.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 60, State Lands and Investments. Representative Jorgensen will describe that agency.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank
you. Oh, if you could, I have privilege to the floor for just a moment while he's getting ready.
Representative Jones, yes, you may.
In the North Balcony, we have 9 people down visiting the legislature today, and we'll be at a get together this evening, 9 members of the Powell Valley Health Care. I'd like you to all stand up and welcome them to the legislature.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize to the chairman of our committee for not being right here on the dot. I'd like to present to you Section 60, Office of State Lands and Investments. It is on page 11 of your extended sheet. I hate to call it a cheat sheet because it really is factual and it's helpful. If you look through this, you will see that the standard budget is presented here, and there were no JAC actions. We did have a footnote here which allows for the continuation of collection for the fire suppression account, which we spent heavily from the last few years, partly due to the drought, partly due to winds, those kinds of things. And we wanted to exceed the limit that had previously been on that account as a way to protect ourselves. It is a revenue source, among participating counties. One of the interesting things is that not all counties participate. Those who do not say they don't have enough state lands in their account, but what happens when in their county, but what happens when there's a large fire, the state is sort of the funder of last resort. So we did question that on the committee, and I can assure you we will continue to move forward trying to make that a statewide application of that assessment, if you will. With that, I'd stand for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Question being called. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 60 is passed committee of the whole. Chairman Phillip.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 63, Governor's Residence. And Representative Harshman.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't send out a cheat sheet because this is a pretty small budget. But I will go over it with you. It's on page 35 of your bill and on page 11 of your cheat sheet. The governor's residence, there was basically a request for $54,000 over the standard budget. And $4,000 of that was to replace two computers. $50,000 was to implement water-wise xeriscaping, landscaping at the residence itself. And with that, I would stand for any questions.
Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 63 is passed committee of the whole. Chairman Phillip.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 66, Wyoming Tourism Board, and Representative Peterson will talk about that.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise to cover the Wyoming Tourism Board. This is an interesting agency we have in the state of Wyoming. It's section number 66. Their budget is on page 11 of our extended sheet here, and on the budget page, it's on page 35. Tourism is a unique feature. It's the second largest industry in the state of Wyoming. One of the intriguing things about this industry, it's a real generator of income for the state. Because you look at others and they don't generate the kind of income that we have here. In testimony that we received in the committee, it pointed out the fact that tourism here has brought in $103 million in a nine-year period. And for every dollar that we spend on promotion of Wyoming's tourism, and I'm sure some of us have seen the tourism media displays that's been put out, we receive back $12.26 for every dollar that we spend out. So therefore, it's an important feature for us to go forward with because it can supplement the mineral industry, which sustains the economic vitality of this state. And as a result, when we started looking at their budget, they came in to us with a standard budget of $23 million and then some exception requests, which, of course, were not necessarily approved. And if you look at our cheat sheet, you'll see on there that we approved $25,399,825 with no JAC actions were taking place on this. There is a question that's coming up on a visitor center here in the Cheyenne area that may be addressed later in capital construction, but it's not in the budget at the present time. And so I stand ready for any questions.
Question being called for. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 66 is passed committee of the whole. Representative Brown.
I'm Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor.
Yes, you may.
Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome 51 University of Wyoming faculty and nursing students from the University of Wyoming. They're in the north balcony, and welcome to the house.
Representative Eichel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Likewise. Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask the body to please recognize the Sheridan College Nursing Program. We have faculty members and a number of students from Sheridan College with us. This is Nursing Day in the legislature. They are great. Please, I know some of them are up there, and with you all would stand, and please recognize them.
Chairman Felt.
Mr. Chairman, I move section 070 enhanced oil recovery. Representative Peterson.
Chairman Felt.
Oh, is that where we are? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I move 067 University of Wyoming.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to present this budget to you, and it's quite appropriate that there are some university faculty and students here to see how we deal with issues. This is on page 11 of the extended sheet. You can see the governor's recommendations and then the JAC actions. There are a couple of items involved in those JAC actions, and they're explained in the two footnotes. The first two footnotes go together. The first action we took was to reduce $500,000, $500,000, of funding for the Ruckus House Institute, and then we added back $18 million to expand Wyoming public radio coverage in Rawlins and Saratoga. In partial refill of an initial request that the governor had removed. The third item in that JAC action is the $17.4 million, which was removed from the governor's recommendation as a result of the governor's request that we prepare a list of items to be funded with our expected receipt of AML funds this year. That receipt is more or less in the neighborhood of $80 million. One of the items in that request, which are all related in a way to coal extraction, is the $17 million, which is the funding for the School of Energy Resources, which today, in view of the important research that needs to be undertaken in that area, is eligible, in our opinion, for part of the AML money. Of the $80 million, and you'll get more detail on this later, but of the $80 million we expect this year, we take $30 million right off the top to continue the reclamation work. And then we have specific requests, which have to be in the form of grants from DEQ to the federal government to qualify for funding. So that is what we did, and I would stand for questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Question? Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 67 has passed Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, may I privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. I would like you to welcome in the balcony to your right over here three of the instructors from Western Wyoming Community College's nursing program in Evanston, Kay, Amanda, and Artis. Would you please welcome them to the house? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Harshman.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Lockhart and myself would like privilege of the floor.
Yes, you may.
Folks, in conjunction with Nurses Day here at the legislature, Casper College has 26 student nurses and 9 faculty members. And Mr. Lockhart?
As a user of nursing services, I appreciate you being down here with us and look forward to your career in the future.
So please stand so we can welcome you to the legislature.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, you may.
I would like to introduce the president of the Wyoming Nursing Association from Campbell County, also Barbell Merrill, who is a vice president at our hospital, and Ann Raga is a nurse up there who kept me out of trouble many times, and she's up there in the left column up here. They're all up there.
Chairman Phillip.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 070, Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission. Representative Peterson will describe that.
Chairman Phillip, we're showing 069 on top.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 69, Wichee. Rep. St. Peterson will describe that.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm pleased to bring forward the Wichee budget for the body this day. Wichee, of course, as you can read there, is Western Interstate Commission for Higher Education, a real important program we have in the state of Wyoming, because what that allows us to do is have various students within our educational curriculum attend schools outside the state, and they receive financial assistance for that. We participate in 3 Wichee programs that individuals can choose the particular discipline that they're working with. The current fields that we have, and of course we can't afford these within the state of Wyoming, is dentistry, medicine, occupational therapy, optometry, osteopathic medicine, physical therapy, physician's assistants, podiatry, and veterinary medicine, or the various schools. The 2 professional schools we have, of course, on campus is the pharmacy and the law school at the present time. The Wichee program came in to us in our hearings. They requested a standard budget of $4,788,000, exception request of $665,000, for a total of $5,453,000. We looked at that. The justification is there are more students in the program. They're progressing along well with it, and things are working out along that avenue. So if you look at the JAC actions, we never did one thing except added 1 footnote. We did recommend that the $5 million go forward here into the Wichee program, but the footnote indicated that we wanted the same service of students entering the medical and dental programs through Wichee as through our WAM students. What that means, fellow members, is under the WAM program, which we'll address a little later, there's a 3-year commitment payback to the state of Wyoming. Under Wichee program, there isn't. Nevertheless, in the testimony that we heard, 68% of the students who participate in the Wichee program do come back into the state of Wyoming. So I'm not sure about that footnote. There was a lot of discussion on it, and everything wasn't 100% unanimous on that. But that footnote stands from the JAC position, and I stand ready for any questions.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, I do have one question on that footnote. I've received a number of contacts from constituents concerned and with the impression that students who have been admitted for the WICHE program for this next year are now going to have additional requirements or different requirements than they had anticipated when they first signed up for the program. And I'm just the question I have is that the case, and are we in fact by adopting this footnote changing the rules of the road kind of in the middle of the game for those students who have already agreed for or been admitted to the program for the 2008-2009 school year?
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is a policy shift that took place, and along those lines, and the very question that was just posed was discussed in committee along these lines, and the WICHE concept never did envision what this footnote is entailing here. So there is some concern about that particular footnote, and it remains for the body to address and see if that footnote stands.
Ms. Minority Floor Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question has to do with the financial consideration. There are two different programs with a different level of commitment from the students in both of the programs and a different amount from the state in both programs. Was the financial analysis done with regard to the commitment of the student in both of them, and do we have that information?
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The answer to that is part yes, part no. Part yes, in the sense that we looked at the WICHE program and the requirement there that the state steps up to in terms of helping with tuition so that they pay basically in-state rates when they go to these out-state institutions, whereas the other program is more of a full tuition type scenario. But there wasn't a complete analysis of all the students that were in there and the financial impacts that it may have.
Question? Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 69 is passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phillip.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 070 Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission. And Representative Peterson will describe that as well.
Representative Bagby.
May I have the privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce six nursing students and two instructors from WWCC. It's the Outreach Rollins Nursing Student Program. If you'd please stand. Well, to your right.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow representatives, I bring you section number 70, Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission Program, and the financial implications of that. If you would please look at your extended white sheet, it's on page 12, and on the budget bill, it is on page 37. Enhanced oil recovery contributes to the quality of life within Wyoming in a way that we can pull greater resources from the ground that we are working for. Many of our fields, oil fields and various other things that we're trying to do in the subsurface are in a state of decline. As a result, what we anticipate is through this enhanced oil recovery program, approximately 8 billion barrels of oil can be retrieved through the state. It's a process that we have started and we hope to have continued. They came in to us with a budgetary request of $6,110,000. They had no exception request. The governor granted that. We at JAC took a look at that, and we also agreed that that is the amount of funds that they should have because the testimony had justification for the programs they had underway and how things were proceeding with their various endeavors to extract more oil from the ground. We did add one footnote, and I would direct your attention to page 37 of the budget bill, and you can see there it gave the commission various directions on what needed to be done in terms of how the research program should be worked on collectively so that we'd achieve maximum results out of all of our collective efforts in this important energy recovery process. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I stand ready for any questions.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, how much overlap would there be with this $6 million and the $17 million to the university for the School of Energy? They're both kind of are related, aren't they? And is there an overlap there, or do we need all these additional funds to make this thing work?
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There was some discussion along those lines in answer to the good chairman's question. However, specifically, I don't recall of a figure that was arrived, but through the UW School of Energy in this, they do have a significant role where they work together on and develop these programs. But dollar-wise, I don't recall any testimony in our committee hearings that delineated that particular figure.
Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 70 is passed committee of the whole. Chairman Felt.
Mr. Chairman, I move section 72, the Wyoming Retirement System. It's on page 38 in your bill and on page 12 of the cheat sheet. The retirement system administrates the retirement plans in the state. There are seven of those plans. They administrate all of the plans except for the volunteer fireman's plan, which is they administer that themselves by the Volunteer Fireman's Pension Board. The revenue to administrate the plans comes from participants who pay 0.5% of their assets, 50 cents per $100 of assets to fund the administration of the plan. So they just do the administration of those plans in the state. They also manage $66 million in assets, and there's 12,000 participants in the plan. And I would stand ready to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Question? Question being called. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Section 72 is passed committee of the whole. Chairman Felt.
Mr. Chairman, I move section 80, Department of Corrections, and Representative Jones will describe that.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agency 80, Department of Corrections. As you can see by this 342-page document, this is quite a large agency in our state government and so on, and I don't think I'm going to bore you with a lot of the details that are in it. But this large agency does have a huge funding and employs 1,136 people throughout this entire state. The standard budget for this agency was $232 million, and with the addition in this budget request of $10.9 million more, the total for the 09-10 budget totals to $243.3 million. Within the operations division, there are relatively small amounts for education, training, IT, software, things like that, but larger amounts are for health services, $9.5 million, substance abuse, $2.4 million, bringing the total for this division to just over $76 million. Field Services Division budget increased by $423,000 for a total of $38.7 million. Honor Conservation Camp will receive $502,000 more, covering such expenses as offender management, facilities operation, food service, and education for those people that are housed there. The Women's Center in Lusk will, in this budget, receive $16 million. Just over $16 million, an increase of about $850,000. The budget for the Honor Farm in Fremont County will increase from $13 million to 13.5 million, an increase of just over, 13.3 million to 13.5 million, an increase just over $250,000. Most of this increase is taken up in facility management, administration, and their food services. The expenses at the state penitentiary have gone up generally in the same areas as I have just described for Newcastle and Riverton and Lusk, resulting in an increase for the Wyoming State Prison of an increase of $912,000. As you can see in your budget bill, the yet-to-be-completed medium security correctional institution remains constant. All of these division budgets together, you will arrive at a grand total to operate the Department of Corrections of $243,333,664 and provide jobs for 1,136 employees. I would stand for any questions.
Representative Shepperson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to see if there's any room for any shifting of the funds under specifically under the field services field for treatment options.
I believe any agency can be 11 and transfer funds within their agency, 10% within their own agency and so on, that can, by the B-11 process, can move money within this agency to provide services that may not have been funded properly. Okay.
And, Mr. Chairman, that flex authority that Representative Jones talked about is in the Section 300 of this bill, and we'll talk about that later. But it's 5% within an agency and 10% flex between agencies.
Representative Floyd Escobel.
Mr. Chair, I was just wondering if the Appropriations Committee discussed the increasing age of some of the inmates and what percentage that might be. Because I understand that many of our institutions are becoming, so to speak, geriatric centers. Some of our inmates are got an aging population in the prison system, which I imagine would increase the health costs dramatically. And I was just wondering if any discussion was held in that regard.
Representative Jones.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know that we talk specifically because of the increasing age. There is a considerable increase in the health care budget in there, and I'm sure when they presented their budget to us, their budget proposal to us, they probably took that into consideration. But in our discussions, I don't recall that there was any specific figure allotted to the fact that the prisoners were getting older.
Question?
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Felt.
Just one point on that. I believe at the new medium security prison that will be in Torrington, there is provisions for geriatric prisoners there.
Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 80 is passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, you may.
I have the distinct honor to present to this body Rebecca Patton, who is the president of the American Nursing Association. In her role as president of that organization and the members of it, the main issues they're concerned with right now are the nursing shortage, inappropriate staffing, patient advocacy and safety, and occupational health and safety, and she is in the west wing of our gallery. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
I would like to bring to the body's attention today one of our nursing students who will have her RN degree in May through Western Wyoming College. She also works at the state hospital. It's my distinct pleasure to introduce Jennifer Stringer from Mountain View, Wyoming. Jennifer, would you please stand?
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Agency 85. This is our Wyoming Business Council, and we made no exceptions to their proposal.
Representative Berger, we need 81. That's next.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. The Board of Parole will be at a later time with okay. all of the...
Section 81 agencies. Will be at a later time. Okay. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With the Wyoming Business Council, Section 85, we in JAC took no action. We went with the governor's proposed budget, which was $123 million approximately. And for many of you, you should have on your desk, there are two reports by the Wyoming Business Council, the annual report and...
Point of order.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think we need to go to
you want to do that?
81.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I thought we were doing those as a collection.
Chairman Phelps.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 81, Board of Parole. And Mr. Chairman, just a point of order. Once we go by one, we can't go back to it. So that's why we're doing it that way.
Very well. Chairman, Representative Jones almost gave you a promotion there.
I don't need any more demotions today, sir. Agency 81, Board of Parole. This board consists of 7 part-time members appointed by the governor, and they have a staff of 6 full-time employees, and they hear requests from the incarcerated convicted felons regarding the possible parole from a correctional institution. Their standard budget is $1.7 million. It contained no exception to requests and was approved both by the governor and the JAC.
Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 81 is passed the committee of the whole. Chairman Felt.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 85, Wyoming Business Council, and Representative Berger will explain that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It feels a little bit like deja vu. Back on Wyoming Business Council, and as I was stating earlier, we made no financial adjustments to their proposed budget based on the recommendations of the governor. Again, just to remind you that you should have 2 documents on your desk, the annual report of the Business Council and also Investing in Wyoming Communities. For many of you know that we now house the Main Street program under the Business Council, the Business Ready Communities program, which we're proposing a little over $79 million in that program, and the more recent new program, the Community Facilities Program of $15 million. And I would stand for questions.
Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 85 is passed the committee of the whole. Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, you may.
We have some folks from Casper at that great school that I introduced some of this morning, Crest Hill Elementary in Casper, Wyoming. And as best I can tell, they're scattered throughout the whole balcony. And if those young people and their teachers and sponsors, if they'd stand, we'd like to give you a legislative welcome.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd also like to have privilege of the floor.
Yes, you may.
Up in the balcony, I have a former student, and she's now a second-year nursing student at Western Wyoming, Holly Bird Ebert, and her husband, Brandon. Would you please welcome them?
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 101, Supreme Court, and we have Representative Warren to speak on that.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Chairman, see if I can wake everybody up with the Supreme Court budget. With among all your piles of paper, there is a more detailed explanation of the Supreme Court budget. It's a fairly big budget. It's actually presented to the JAC outside of the governor's request, so the JAC has a little more input into the budget. Basically, the Supreme Court has five justices. It has eight separate programs, and I will briefly go over those eight programs and the funding. In the Supreme Court administrative budget, $244,000 was asked in the exception budget to primarily fund a full-time bailiff, and that a bailiff person, that's for protection of the facility. In the law library, $158,000 was requested. That's for dues, licenses, educational supplies, educational and telecommunications. In the circuit courts, that was a higher request, $1,030,000. And something that was interesting in the circuit court is throughout all the many of the circuit courts, there was funding requested for individuals who could speak foreign languages. And that's just another impact on our state as we see individuals coming in, speaking different languages, especially Spanish. And it's been a real problem throughout the court. So there's $240,000 requested for that service. In the court technology aspect of the budget, there was $50,000 for a vehicle, but also within that same area of technology, the judicial systems automation, because the Supreme Court is becoming fully automated throughout the state. There was $2,536,000 for one-time request for the data processing and other computer equipment. For the judicial retirement, there was $50,000 additional funding needed for one person retiring. And for the Judicial Policy Administration, $16,000 for dues and licenses. Where JAC did make some changes substantially, it was $4,200,000 was transferred from the Supreme Court budget to the Public Defender's Office to transfer the GAL program. Again, that will come up in the 300 section. The JAC also denied $1,600 for bottled water. I thought you'd all want to know that. So if you get some feedback from your constituents, we would really need to have some justification of why we were paying for bottled water. But we also denied a $95,000 study. This also came up last year. Again, we denied it. The study was to do an assessment throughout the state of what are the needs, the legal needs of our constituents. And there was definitely some discussion about that, but JAC decided to deny that. And JAC also denied one other request, which was one circuit judge in the 4th District. That was discussed some, and the decision was that at this point there wasn't justification to need that position. So if there are any questions, I would answer them. Thank you.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm fascinated by the bottled water one, but I won't ask questions about that. I was more curious. You said that it sounded like you said $240,000 for translators. Is that for contract translators, or are there new full-time positions, or is the money just being split up amongst the circuit courts and then they'll contract with whoever they deem appropriate? And then if you could just share with us a little bit on the $95,000 that you said no to for the legal needs assessment. I know they've attempted that one probably every year to get that through, to have that study done to see what we need to do for legal aid for the indigent in this state. I'm just curious as to why that was denied again.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Chairman, I will address both these questions. The $241,000 was for professional fees, was really to contract out to cover the costs both of hourly magistrates and interpreters throughout the circuit courts. There are some circuit courts that have a much higher need than other ones, depending on where they are in the state. And so that's done individually in each circuit court where they find individuals. And there's some training that's required because they have to have confidentiality, no court procedures, and so on to be able to deal with the fluency issue with the Spanish language. So that's including both the magistrates and the interpreters. On the question for the study, the $95,000, and I actually have a copy of that study proposal if any of you would want to look at that. Again, there was debate. There were some people in favor, some not. It seemed to be the position of those who were not in favor was that that's going to open the door to too many other needs across the system. And why do they need another study? People are already being served, and if they need their services, they can get them. So the study is too expensive, and what might that open up if we did do the study of determining what the legal needs are? So there's debate on both sides. And I have, as I said, I have a copy of that if some of you want to look at that to reconsider that. It was not a definitive issue about not supporting it.
Representative Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And then do you want to discuss the public defender, the switch of the money now, or should we hold our questions till you get to section 316? Because I was just curious as to the reasons, but I can certainly wait to ask my questions till we get to 316.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Chairman, I think we'll wait till we get to the 300 section. There are questions, there were opinions on that, and that would be a really good place to have a thorough discussion of that decision. Thank you.
Call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 101 is passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 102, Board of Law Examiners, and Representative Warren will continue the conversation.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Chairman, I believe I'm doing 103, Commission on Judicial Conduct and Ethics.
Well, we have Section 102, Board of Examiners next. Board of Law Examiners. Section 102.
Mr. Chairman, I would just call for the question on that since we took no action and their budget is at $155,000.
Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 102 is passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 103, Judicial Supervisory Commission. Representative Warren.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Chairman, it's good because I thought I was going to have a panic disorder on 102. I don't have that on my list. Fortunately, I know how to deal with panic disorders. So, the Commission on Judicial Conduct and Ethics is basically a commission of 12 members that oversees and reviews complaints of judicial misconduct brought forward and also makes recommendations for public censure, suspension, and other decisions. They had two primary requests. One was $4,000, which is just to cover some expense for the commission and for out-of-state travel, training seminars, and other expenses. JAC approved that. But they also had a second request, which was for about $15,000, which was to increase the salary for the full-time executive director position. JAC denied that, and the reason for that primarily was they did a comparator of other similar positions of individuals who were in executive director position and found that this salary increase was beyond what the standard salary was for other similar positions. So the decision was made to not increase that budget. Otherwise, the rest of the budget remained the same.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just note, how often do these people meet? I mean, they must meet a lot, and they must travel a lot, and the administrator must get paid a very good salary because that's 12 members, and depending on how often they meet and so forth, that's a lot of money, $330,000.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if I could answer how often they meet because I don't remember seeing that in the narrative. And maybe somebody who works more closely with this would know that number.
Question? Question being called. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Section 103 is passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phillip.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, and what I'd like to do here is do as a consent list on the judicial districts, move section 120. Hold on. Section 120 through 140 as a consent list. And if there's any of these courts that you wish to have discussed individually, just ask us and we'll pull them off the list and discuss them individually. Otherwise, we'll vote on them as a block.
Question?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Eichel.
Mr. Chairman, could you hold back 126?
Okay. So then, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, then, with the exception of 126, I would call for the question on the district courts.
Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 120 through 140 is passed Committee of the Whole with the exception of 126.
Okay. Then discussion, Chairman Mr. Felt, Chairman, on 126.
Representative Eichel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if this is the right place. It passed me by fast on the circuit court request for one more FTE, which was the footnote under the Supreme Court. And there had been a Wyoming judicial workload assessment study conducted, and I just wondered if that didn't fairly establish the need or had not been well worked, or why perhaps that one FTE wasn't allowed for as recommended by the study. Mr. Chairman, I understand just now that there's a bill recognizing this, and if so, I withdraw my request. Thank you.
Question on section 126. Chairman Felt.
Time out just a second till we find it. There was no exception request for that additional position, and that this, based on the study, they didn't think they needed it.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just to expand, yes, there was a study done, but the District 4, which is Sheridan or Johnson County, they have decided that they do not need that judge at this time or that additional person. They're sharing that individual. And they will look at the either the interim or the next biennium for that need, Mr. Chairman.
Question on 126. Question being called for. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 126 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phillip.
Mr. Chairman, and now we're on page 53 of the bill, which is section 151, District Attorney, Judicial District 1, and Representative Warren. We'll talk about that.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Chairman, as you all see, the District Attorney, District Number 1 and District 7, actually what happened back in 1981, the legislature established an office of the district attorney when a population in a county reaches above $60,000. That's why we have these two that are separate from the other ones. One of them is in Cheyenne. So the one in Cheyenne is District 1. Their primary budget request, they actually had a new district attorney begin in January of 2007, and his request was $138,000, which is basically support services, some computer work, some administrative services, and so on. Otherwise, his budget remained the same. There was a little footnote in the budget indicating that he needed $167,000 additional funding from the previous budget to cover some unintended expenses that he came into the office facing. However, that's not going to be in the standard budget. If there are any questions, I would answer them.
Question? Question being called. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Section 151 is passed committee of the whole.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 157, District Attorney, Judicial District 7. And Representative Warren will.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Warren.
District 7 had a total request, an exception request of $35,000. It basically was including Westlaw, a vehicle allotment, increase in state travel, and that one position that was a three-quarter time position moved to a full-time position. So it was a fairly small request, and other than that, there weren't any other changes in the budget.
Question? Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 157 is passed the committee of the whole.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 160, County and Prosecuting Attorneys. Representative Warren.
Mr. Chairman, I got all the attorney budgets today. I don't know why, if somebody was mad at me or what, but this could be the last one. The budget with the county and prosecuting attorneys, when they did their presentation, basically their standard budget of $5,178,000 was considered sufficient to support their needs in the next year. However, last year we did pass some legislation which could potentially increase the salaries for the county and prosecuting attorneys. Annual salaries may be increased from $85,000 to $94,500 on January 1st, 2009. If this were to happen for all 21 counties, an additional $149,000 would be needed in order to ensure sufficient funding. With the additional funding needed both for the increased number of eligible assistants and the statutorily supported pay increases, they made a request of $1,106,625,000. And again, that was a projected, if everybody goes for this pay increase at the full extent, that's how much it's going to cost. JEC decreased it by $149,000, basically saying that it's probably not going to be needed. Of the $1,106,625,000, $149,000 was taken out of that. The rest of it was remaining. So if I can answer any questions, I will.
Representative Gingery.
Mr. Chairman, I need to declare a conflict on Section 160.
Representative Gingery, conflict noted. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make a little bit of a point. I don't know what all the numbers are, but be forewarned, something's coming from me sooner or later about this. We're funding, in Judicial District 1, $3,900,000. We're funding, in Judicial District 7, $3,500,000. This body is paying the entire cost of the district attorney's office in those two counties. The rest of us, the other 21 counties, they throw a bone out to us for $6 million and some dollars and say, pay all the rest of your district attorney expenses out of your county budgets. And there's 21 counties here that ought to be looking at this and saying there's something that's not equitable about this. So look at this number. They get $7.3 million, $7.4 million, and the rest of us get $6.2 million and pay the rest of it by ourselves. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a response to that. In 1981, this decision was made for counties over 60,000 to have the state cover the district attorneys. Why that was made and what the history of that would be interesting to know, but it definitely could appear to be an inequity for the rest of the state.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question in regards to the representative from Albany County. Is it not true that in the district attorneys, the two district attorneys, the money they get from the state only goes for criminal cases, and it's up to the county to pay for their own civil cases?
Representative Warren.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to defer the answer to representative from Albany County, who knows more than I do.
Representative Brown.
I don't know about that. Mr. Chairman, I believe that the representative from District 22 is correct. That doesn't ameliorate the fact that we get $6.2 million to do all our criminal prosecution work in 21 counties, and those two counties get all their criminal work paid for. And I don't know where the equity is there, but I'm telling you, there's 21 counties here that are throwing money into the pot to make this work, and those two counties have gotten themselves exempted.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Phelps.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if this is any consolation to the representative from Albany County, but the base budget they got, which would have been what they got the last biennium, was $1.3 million. And then the standard budget, they got 5.1, and then they had an exception request for 1.1 million. So they got, and then for a total governor's recommendation of 6.2 million. So they got a pretty good raise there, about 5 million, when they started out with about 1.3, so 5 million increase. So I don't know if that helps you any, but.
And, Mr. Chairman, we could add to that they said that their workload had increased, the competition for attorneys had become more challenging, so there was an increase in salaries and the cost of doing business.
Mr. Speaker, pro tempore.
Mr. Chairman, I have a privilege of the floor request after this section.
Representative Warren. Question? Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 160 is passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Speaker, pro tempore.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To quote the old representative from District 31, whose desk I now occupy, it's not very often that somebody drives all the way down here from my district to visit us. But in the gallery off to my right, most to your right, are 14 nursing students from the class of 2009 from Gillette College and their instructors, if you'd all welcome them.